And I still believe that these problems can be solved.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
This is The Political Show.
Hey, 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 and welcome to The Political Show right here on Active FM, where radio has never been better. I'm your girl Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix. And with me in studio we have
Gavin Insulin.
Pastor Gavin Insulin and
The Black Knight.
The Black Knight, right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is
hot politics.
Hot politics. And this week's hot politics, we are going into the topic of the Israel and Hamas war. And, well, Israel and Palestinian war. And,
what?
Yes.
So, Israel fought in the West Bank?
Well, when you, the politically correct...
Are they not... No. Is Israel fighting Fatah?
No. So, it's the Israel and Hamas war.
It's a war between Israel and Hamas.
And we are going to be touching on the whole topic in terms of...
They're bombing Jericho, which is in the West Bank.
They're not.
No.
So we're going to be touching on the whole topic on where should apostates stand with this situation.
There's three enemies at the moment directly that Israel has.
Yeah.
They've all attacked him. Hamas, Hezbollah, and I bet you think the third name starts with an H.
No.
You would be wrong. Iran.
Yeah. You want to give a more brief explanation on what we're speaking about?
Yes. So a message is being sent to pastors around which side they must take when it's looking at the conflict between Israel and Hamas. Hamas. Gigs, Hamas. Okay, we're politically incorrect here. But that's who the war is between. And, there's overtures being made within South Africa by especially the Muslim community to stand on humanitarian grounds with the people in Gaza, the children in Gaza, the people that get blown up in hotels in Gaza, people get blown up in hospitals in Gaza, people get blown up in schools and mosques in Gaza Strip, and they want Israel to stop. The question is, what should the pastor do?
And that is what we are going to be looking at this week. It's going to be hot, as always, because this is The Political Show, where Christ politics is...
Hot politics.
Hot politics.
Active FM, the Netflix of radio. But better.
So we are looking at the Israel and Hamas conflict that has been happening since the 7th of October last year. And basically what brought about this topic today was that a pastor in Johannesburg got a message from someone in the Muslim community, and I'm going to read out the message. I'm not going to mention the names in these messages, but I will read out what the messages say. So it says, "Hi to the specific pastor. Trust you and your family are well. I'm reaching out to you as my brother in humanity. We've been engaging in discussions and collaborating with Christian groups and churches on the West Rand concerning the humanitarian crisis in Palestine. Given your leadership role within the church and your commitment to principles of morality and humanity, I wanted to extend an invitation to you to join forces with us in opposing the actions of the Zionist Israeli government, which we view as crimes against humanity. As a compassionate, God-loving, and God-fearing leader, I have no doubt that you and your church have compassion and empathy for the Palestinians of all religions. I am sure you would like to see your people choosing to be on the right side of history. Peace be upon you and your family. And the specific pastor responded, evening, name of the person. We pray for peace to return and reign over that region. I pray that the bloodshed ends. And the person then responded saying that we are planning a conference in 2 weeks where leaders from various religions who support peace are invited to speak and represent their people's stance against these crimes against humanity. I would like to invite you to be on the panel of speakers. So now, based on this communication, we are answering the question, where should a pastor stand with this? Because obviously in this message, the whole point is that the panel speaks about how Israel is committing crimes against humanity and the whole peace situation. And then we also then watched a YouTube video from the former. So it was basically a panel that was had in America and on
Michigan.
In Michigan specifically.
At the university in Michigan.
And Musab Yusuf, who is...
I was going to say Yusuf Abramji, but he's a local newscaster here in Johannesburg, so that would definitely be the wrong name.
Musab Hassan Yusuf is the disowned son of the Hamas co-founder Sheikh Hassan Yusuf.
Sheikh.
No,
you shake it all around.
And he basically was speaking his perspective on this, on the war and what's been happening, and his perspective on Hamas and stuff. So I want to get your guys' perspective or thoughts on everything that was spoken about and these messages that were sent.
Yeah, obviously, I am a pastor, so I'm coming now to Gigs Yourself and Black Knight. So we know Black Knight reckons the whole war is Israel's fault and that they planned the thing. You am I right? You
don't. But when did I say that?
You did in one of the shows.
No, I didn't say that. I said
no. Stop. You're not debate this. Gigs is agreeing with me. It's 2-1. Okay, so it's we Manchester City, you Manchester United, you lost. Right. So then just take your beating. But anyway, I'd like you to take their position because you did argue in their favour. And then obviously Gigs. I don't think you have the same perspective. And I know that your perspectives are not 100% because neither of you are 100% in either camp, if you know what I'm saying. So, Black Knight, first give your perspective on what should this pastor do. Or should we go Gigs first so you can think about it?
For me,
you never know. Black Knight might just say that they need to organize quarantine camps for the next virus, and then he's likely not to make it out of the studio. Alive.
I would say my response to the messages that were sent and whatever is there's twofold. The pastor could either be a panel, but then speak from a perspective of.
Well, how wise would it be for the pastor to go to the panel?
It wouldn't be that wise. That's why I'm using that as the first thing because
let's start there.
So what's this?
The first question is, should the pastor go to the panel? Why? Should he or shouldn't he? Okay. And then the second question is, say the pastor was forced to go to the panel. In other words, we cancel the first question.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe at gunpoint or something, you know what I'm saying? What should the pastor say? So let's go to the first question.
So the first question, no. Mainly because it is a Muslim organized event where we stand as Christians and the two different beliefs don't coincide. They don't work together. So obviously the things that they will be standing for or what they believe as peace is not necessarily what the Christian world believes as peace, if I put it that way. So answering the first question, he shouldn't go to the,
So you say when a Muslim uses the word peace, it means something different to if a Christian uses the word peace.
Yes.
Okay.
That is what I'm saying. And then answering the second question, if he's
What is the difference?
So with...
Looks like I'm an interviewer yet today.
So with the Muslims, obviously their aim is that the nation or the state or whatever all follow the Muslim religion and stuff. Their main, well, it's all religions that are like that. But then
okay,
the
so whole point saying, of it is that. Are you saying the Islamic version of peace is peace through submission?
Yes. Yes, that is okay, that is basically it. To their charter, what they believe.
Okay, so yes. The Quran.
Yes. Because if you look at what happened.
Submission to the message of Muhammad.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then what's this answering your second question.
What is a Christian's definition of peace?
A Christian's definition of peace is what the Bible says about peace. If we look at specifically.
How does a Christian get peace?
So being filled with the Holy Spirit and through the guidance of the okay. Holy Spirit. Yeah.
So through being led by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said filled, but I mean filled and led is the same thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So in other words, your sin needs to be dealt with, eh?
Yes.
I'm a pastor, so I do know that answer. Because you can only have peace with God. You only have peace if you have peace with God.
Mm.
And you only have peace with God if your sin's dealt with.
Yes.
And your sin can only be dealt with by the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
And that's definitely not what the Muslims believe peace is.
Yes.
Peace is when you submit. And if you don't submit,
then they eradicate
there's no peace. Okay.
Yeah. And then answering the second question, if he was forced to go there.
Well, let that not answer the first question first.
Okay.
Then answer the first question. Want me to should answer. The pastor go? Why or why not?
So it's a tricky situation to first think about, because at the end of the day, in the world that we're living in today, if you don't come to the party and come give your peace, it's going to be like you're hiding something, or whatever is being said about you is true. Or something.
Well, obviously, this is not something said about the pastor.
Yeah, but obviously, we know that what stance Christian take when it comes to this whole thing.
I know Christian pastors are supporting the Palestinians.
Yeah, but it's not popular in the Christian community. Okay. There's more Christians that are for Israel than they are that are for Hamas or that? Palestine.
It's not propaganda.
No. I've obviously,
you've been caught up with propaganda.
obviously,
like those that propaganda said there's no planes in 9/11.
So I think it's tricky, because at the same time they've set it up as a humanity cause, not as what it is really, which is it's a religious war. It's not. It has nothing to do with a humanitarian cause, as they are trying to place it. Because when we do that, obviously, everyone has the right to life. So no one should be killed. Hence why people that are being murdered here in South Africa, then we should speak about them then, because there are more people dying in South. We've covered that, obviously, from the show. So for me, it's a trick.
More South Africans are dying than Palestinians in the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I think the murder rate, it was 74. I think it's up to 86 now per day in South Africa.
Sure.
I think it's 86 people per day
just
being murdered in South Africa. Imagine now if Israel was bombing us on top of that.
So
we even notice. Would we notice the extra deaths?
We'd only notice the bomb.
They're saying since October, 25,000 have died, Palestinians.
Mm.
Since October.
Yeah.
Sure.
Now, if we're losing 86 people a day in South Africa, and it's going to be a lot more than 25,000.
Yeah. And then obviously the...
Yeah, Giggs just times it out. 86 times 30 times 6. Yeah, carry on.
Sorry. And then obviously the big thing is that with this whole... is it cancel culture, right? That's the term, right? Not the other way around. With this cancel culture that we're in, if a pastor, yes, a pastor must be careful. At the same time, they have to be radical, especially with what we've been focusing on. That it's like time to fight. We've been focusing on a topic at our church, which is coined the battle rages. Whereby I think this is the time where there's this whole cancel culture. There's this free speech that they want to pass, or they have passed, right? Or was it only the Gazette that they've passed, whatever, but with all of that the church is going through, and funny enough that this also affects the church in like in a massive way. I think in fact in the other show that's what we were stressing the most, that this will affect the church more than what we think. So I think, yeah, it's tricky. I don't actually know if they should or they shouldn't go, because it's a tricky okay. situation.
That's a known situation.
Yeah.
And how many people would that be in 6 months, Giggs?
16,000.
16?
Yes.
Okay, so more have been killed in Palestine, but that's if we believe Hamas's figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we were told not to believe.
And then answering your second question.
But still, I mean, if 16,000 people have been murdered here in the same period, surely that's the South African pastor's priority.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
And then answering the second question, I think it goes back to what Black Knight said about the fact that they're passing this on as a humanitarian situation when it's not a humanitarian situation. So if he was forced to go to the, what's this, to the event, there's two ways that this pastor could deal with it in my own thinking. Is that could either say it as what it is. It's not a humanitarian situation, it is a religious war. Just like what Musab Yusuf said in the video, where he pointed out the fact that this is more than just something that has to do with humanitarian dealings. It's a religious war of people that are wanting to wipe out a nation.
So the Israelis want to wipe out the Palestinians?
No, the Palestinians. The Hamas wants to wipe out the Jews, so the Israeli nation.
Which we know because it's in their
charter, yes. And then the second approach could be if they're dealing...
It is, though.
It's not a propaganda, because they were even chanting. Side,
apparently, they chant to the seas.
So,
but don't they just want freedom?
Why push people to the seas?
And then the second approach to it is if they are focusing on the whole humanitarian thing, then I think a person who really calls themselves a humanitarian always looks at both sides. They never choose a side. When you look at people, I'm not speaking specifically in this century or in this society where everyone calls themselves humanitarians and then they're choosing one side or what's this, pro-life, what, and all of these things. But when you look at people who truly, they look at both sides of the situation and they speak on both sides of the situation. So they're usually in the middle ground speaking on both sides of the situation. But when we look at the reality of what this war is, it doesn't fall under the category of where you have to look at both sides of the situation. It falls under the category of this is a religious war.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's my answer to the second question.
Okay.
What was the second question?
If he was forced to go, what would he?
I think with how Hamas is so, they're so pushing with whatever they believe. I don't believe that the pastor should go any lower than what they are. In fact, probably more radical, as equally as the Hamas guys are. So I wouldn't think that the pastor should obviously back down. He would obviously now have to stand. As much as he was forced to go there, now because of his beliefs and because of what Jesus also said, that if you don't stand for him in front of man, he won't stand for you with his father. So I think because of that belief, what the pastor will be under, he will, just as he was forced to go there, he will be forced also to take that stance and stand with Israel when it comes to this. Because as also, I'll also point out with what Giggs was saying with the whole humanitarian stuff, is that their charter also calls out for the whole annihilation of Israel. So there is no peace. There's no peace that when you are talking about the difference with the Christian and the Muslim peace, that's where it differs. One still wants blood to be shed afterwards, but the other, there are no blood being shed because Christ has already done that for us. So, yeah, for me, the pastor will be forced to take that rigorous stand there. and speak his mind, obviously his beliefs. Yeah.
There's a publication called foreignpolicy.com. So just listening to your answers, I looked it up, and this foreignpolicy.com website, they put up an article about the vanishing Christians in Gaza homes, and it, the headline was, in Hamas-run Gaza, the last Arab Christians holding on. In 2007, 1 year after Hamas was elected, the last Christian bookstore in central Gaza, known as the Teacher's Bookshop, was firebombed twice. It was one of a spate of similar bombings that occurred in Gaza around that time. And this bookshop was sort of a haven, you know, for educational services and things like that. So, you know, when you look at that, then that's obviously a story that hasn't been told yet.
Mm.
Mm.
And that is, you take Hamas in the Gaza Strip and you take Hezbollah in Lebanon. And what those organizations actually do to Christians, that is not being discussed.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we'd have to see what would happen if the pastor went and started raising this. So this article continues, for 3 years, beginning in 8723, an English monk, traveler, and later bishop, Saint Willibald, visited Gaza, becoming the first Englishman to step foot in the Holy Land. And his travelogue mentions a beautiful cathedral mosque where he thought Christians and Muslims might have been combining their religions in some shape or form. While the Crusaders were destroying Jerusalem, the first crusade, Gaza was a refuge. Later on in the article, it's going on and it's talking about, once Hamas took power in Gaza in, was it 2006, I think it was, that the Christians came under severe pressure. Mm. And so, it's a very difficult one because if you look at the Israelis, you know, as a pastor, they support the rainbow flag, Noah's flood rainbow, LGBTQ movement. They support many other things, you know, that your UN and people like that support. So, I get the idea that they're using this war as a pretext to clamp the people of Israel down in such a security nightmare like I think they've never seen before. So, I mean, it's not that the Israeli government is doing right. And I still have my suspicions about October 7 from a perspective, look, we know Hamas, if they're allowed, will do this. We know that. We know it's in their charter, but how was Israel so unprepared? How were more than 20 towns depopulated on that day?
And if Palestine is not even part of this, how was Hamas able to come out of their country into Israel and go back into... Palestine can't say they're not part of it.
No, they are part of it. But yeah. I mean, have you seen Israel's security?
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing, obviously, a lot of Muslims in the West will claim that Hamas is a creation of the CIA. Now, I find that hard to believe when most of the tenets and most of the Hamas charter comes from the Quran and other Islamic sources.
Mm.
You know, it's actually stuff that ideas that Muslims hold fast to. So.
Now, they can probably say the CIA is trying to infiltrate Hamas or something like that.
No, they can say it. But the thing is, if you want to judge Hamas, the same as if you want to judge ISIS or ASL, whatever they call themselves, if you want to judge Hezbollah, if you want to judge the Iranian government, look at their book.
Mm.
And is what they're doing, does it line up with their book? Does it line up with their traditions? Does it line up with the Sirah, which is the life of Muhammad?
Mm.
Does it line up with it? If it does, then you look at Islam. That's only a question for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I would really suggest people who are confused in terms of what Hamas is for to listen to, what's his name, Musab Yusuf, because he actually speaks from experience, from the perspective of he's the son of the co-founder of Hamas. And he's experienced what they for. He knows and understands and has studied the culture and all of these things and what they stand for.
But I would even suggest, because some people will criticize and say that his words are nothing, just listen to translated versions of interviews with Hamas leaders.
Yeah.
On Middle Eastern TV.
Yeah.
And listen to what they say there.
True. Mm. Yeah. In Proverbs 10 verse 11, it says, "The words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions."
Okay. So, the words of the godly give life. And the wicked, they conceal their intentions. Can I give you my honest opinion about what's happening between the Israelis and the Palestinians?
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's exactly the same as what's happening between Ukraine and Russia.
Hmm.
I believe it's exactly the same as what's happening between the criminals and the population in South Africa.
Yeah.
The evil conceal violent intentions in order that they can catch people unawares and have the upper hand.
Hmm.
And the godly, they speak the truth. You know where you stand with them. But also their words are life-giving. If someone takes it in, it's going to build them. It's going to build them to a brighter future. It's going to build them towards Jesus. Yeah, for that pastor to attend or not to attend, that is the question.
Mm. Holy Spirit.
Mm. Yeah.
This has been an amazing show right here on The Political Show on Active FM, where radio has never been better. I'm your girl Cynthia, but you know you can call me Gix. And with me in studio, we've had
Gavin Enslin.
Pastor Gavin Enslin and
The Black Knight.
Right here on The Political Show, where Christ politics is
Hot politics.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.